may be seated. If you have your Bibles, we are going to have a brief message from God's Word as we springboard into our small group time. Take your Bibles, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We have been in a series about one another, talking about loving one another, edifying one another, forgiving one another, forbearing one another, and so on and so forth. I find it to be somewhat of a consolation that this week brings us to comforting one another. And I think it's imperative that that we learn how to do that, because we do live in a time of great tragedy and great trial. Trials, afflictions, challenges, tragedies make us to grow weary, and they cause us to despair at times. And if we feel like we're alone, it can become even more discouraging. It's one thing to know that life is full of tragedies. It's one thing to know that that heartaches and hardships and trials and suffering is a part of life. But it's a complete another thing to think that I have to endure these things alone, and I have to face all of this by myself. Now, as a child of God, we take great solace in the fact that we're never alone. We have the Lord Jesus. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. But as believers, we ought to have one another inside the body of Christ and to give each other comfort. Now, our comfort and our hope comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I take a lot of comfort in that. How many of you in the last year have said, even so, in your hearts, even so, come, Lord Jesus? Now, when I was a young man, I thought, well, I have so much I want to live and I want to experience and I want to see, and I still do. I'm still looking for grandchildren. I'm still looking for all those things, watching my children grow to see what they will become. But there is also a great comfort in knowing that the Lord Jesus is coming again, and I look forward to being out of this world. And there are times when I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Our text takes us to such a time as this. In Thessalonians, what's happening in much of this is Paul is answering some of the questions that the believers had. The believers were struggling with having hope for those who had died before them. And they're basically asking, well, I know that Jesus is coming again. You've talked about the return of Christ, but what about the believers? What about those who have died before Jesus came again? And Paul answers some of those questions in chapter 4. We'll look at some of those verses. But in chapter 5, you know what? Let's just back up and read it. You'll be all right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's begin in verse 13. Then we'll read our text in verses 1 through 11 in chapter 5. But he talks about comforting one another. Here's what he says concerning those who have died before Christ comes again. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, talking about those who have died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep or precede them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So he's answering the question. You want to know what happens to your loved ones who've died, who are in Christ before the coming of the Lord? This is what happens. There's going to be a resurrection. And there's going to be a rapture. Now, the word rapture is not in the Bible, but you see the principle of the rapture taught right here in chapter 4 when he says those who are alive and remain are caught up into the air to be with the Lord. And verse 18, he ends what we know as a chapter by saying this, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So that's part of our job, is to comfort one another. How do we do that? With these words that Jesus is coming again, that there's a great day coming in which there will be a rapture, there will be a resurrection, there will be a return, and there will be a reunion. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So there's going to be a rapture, a return, a reunion. Jesus offers reunions, and we take comfort in that. He says, comfort each other with the words that Jesus is coming after his bride. Chapter 5, verse 1. He said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. He's relaying an information to us about these pregnant times will be like a woman who is going into labor. They're going to say peace and safety, and all of a sudden there's going to be trial upon trial upon trial, closer and closer. We read about that in Matthew chapter 24. But ye, brethren, he talks about the day of the Lord coming like a thief in the night, meaning that a lot of people are going to be caught off guard. A lot of people are going to be surprised. It's going to be sudden. But then he makes a differential between the lost person and the saved person. He said, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, meaning spiritual darkness. You're not walking in ignorance. You ought to be looking and watching for the coming of the Lord Jesus. You're not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief in the night. What's he saying? He's saying, well, most people would be a little bit surprised if a thief broke into their house, but you ought to be alert. You ought to be watching. You ought to be waiting. And it ought to be that when Jesus comes, you're not caught off guard by that. You saw the signs of the pregnant times. You saw the birth pains getting closer and more intense, and that you expected the Lord Jesus to come. He said, you are the children of the day. We are not of the night, verse 5, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober. When he says when we're not to be sleeping, he's saying you ought to be alert. We'll get into that. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, because of all the things I've just said, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. The point of all this is, you know, we're talking about comforting each other in the midst of our trials. This past week has been a trying week. It's been hard. You can see it on the face of the people of our church. And it isn't just this one incident, but other families are going through things that we don't know about. People are going through things in their marriage. They're going through things at their job. They're going through things in their church. They're going through things in their personal life, in their medical life, in their financial life. And if given the choice, we would always choose comfort over our pain, but we know that pain is inevitable. So where do we turn? Well, when Jesus left his disciples, he told them that he promised another comforter was coming. I quoted for you the first part of chapter 14 of the book of John, but let me read some other verses to you that Jesus gave his disciples beyond what I read to you or what I quoted to you. John chapter 14, verse 16. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. And that word comforter, you notice, is capitalized. It has a capital C because it's a reference to a person. It's the person of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity. It is the Holy Spirit of God. He said, I will pray the Father. He will give you the Holy Spirit that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. For ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be, or he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so when you look at this, we also have promises that from his word that assure us that we are on a pathway to victory. We are heading somewhere where God is going to bless us, where God is going to protect us. And in the midst of all that, while we're here on this earth, we have a comforter in the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the thing. We were talking today with somebody about tragedies that come into our lives. Tragedies are unavoidable sometimes. And it's amazing to me that tragedies do one of two things, and it's always the same. Tragedies in your life will either drive a wedge between you and God, or they will drive you to your knees in dependency upon God. When we were over at the hospital on Wednesday night, Brother Tim Emmons came over at the end, and he gathered around with some of us and prayed together, and we visited, and when we were talking, and Brother Tim said, Brother Matt, and he said this to somebody else, he said, I think sometimes that God allows these things to come into our lives for a reason, and that reason would be to drive us to a place of total dependency upon God. And I think sometimes in our lives we begin to think that my dependency is really about me. I have to pick myself up. I have to go in my own strength. I have to do my own things. And that ultimately, when we find out, when we come to a tragedy like what we experienced this last week, like what many families have experienced in the last week or 2 weeks, last year, you find that your dependency has to be on the Holy Spirit of God that dwells inside of you. And if your dependency is not upon Christ, and if you don't have the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you're going to find yourself not being drawn to God, but being driven away from God. And it ultimately leads to more tragedy, more heartache, more bad decisions. And we see a repeated pattern in ministry. You see a repeated pattern over and over and over and over again. And you just want to stop and grab people and say, listen, there's something else. There's another way. But God has given us His Spirit. Notice in our text in 1 Thessalonians, we think about the believer's conviction here. How do we comfort one another? Well, we comfort each other with the conviction that Jesus is coming again. I comfort myself with the idea of the soon return of Christ. Now, I know we could go over to 2 Peter and we can quote all of that and we can do all the things and say, well, people have been talking about Jesus coming for decades, you know, and decades and decades and so forth. But based on what we read in the Scripture, we have to believe we're in the end times. I mean, it has to be. These are pregnant times in which we live. And I comfort myself with the idea, and I can comfort you with the idea, that Jesus is coming soon. Many people believe that His return is imminent, and He will come like a thief in the night. But we are the children of the light. And what He means by that is that, listen, when it comes to us as Christians, we ought not be caught off guard by this. Children of the light are people who are walking in the Spirit, who have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit to understand the things that you read in the Scripture, to understand the things that you see on the news, whether they're real or not, nobody knows, and to know that the times are drawing near to which Christ could be coming back for us. I want to say this. I don't think that many Christians who are in church and reading their Bible are going to be surprised when Jesus comes back. I honestly think that you ought to be able to identify the Antichrist when he appears on the scene. I think to some degree you ought to have some awareness that this guy has a lot of the traits of what is described in the Antichrist, the false Christ that is going to set up a false peace treaty with Israel and the Palestinians and those kind of things. You ought to be able to see that. When we get saved as Christians, we have a light that comes on inside of us whereby we can understand spiritual things. We have a new light of the glory of Christ, a new light of His salvation. And then when you see all of that, you take the light, you take all the happenings of your life and you shine them through the lens of the glory of the salvation of God that's inside of you, through a biblical worldview, through the view of the Holy Spirit of God comforting you from the inside. When you take your life's happenings and you view them through the view of God's holy word, it helps you to understand and be comforted that Christ is going to come put an end to all this someday. It's our conviction that Christ is coming. Right now, there's a lot of shadows, isn't there? We see a lot of darkness, a lot of shadows. Many people, you remember when you were a child and your mom and dad would turn off the lights in your bedroom and there would be things that make shadows in your room and you would be convinced that the boogeyman was in your bedroom or that there was, I don't know about you, but there have been times I've woken up in a room and I'm convinced that there is a burglar standing in the corner and it's a coat rack. You ever had that? And you're scared. It scares you. It frightens you until the lights come on. And you see that it's just a shadow. It's just something that's there that's just frightening you. It's kind of like deer hunting. How many of you ever seen deer before the sun came up? And then when the sun came up, you realized it was just a branch. but it was a 200-inch deer in the dark. You might have even shot at it, maybe, only to knock the bark off of it. It does happen. And that's where the world is. The world is living in scary shadows. The world looks at all this and they go, well, I don't know what to do with my distress. I don't know what to do with my tragedies. I don't know what to do with all these things because they're living in the scary shadows. But as a Christian, we're not the children of darkness. We're the children of light. He says the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. But listen, you're the children of light. That day should not overtake you as a thief in the night. You ought to see it coming. You ought to have a clear view that God is working something out. And so the day of the Lord will come, but it should not frighten us. It ought to excite us. Take your Bibles. Go over 2 Peter chapter 3 real quick. 2 Peter chapter 3. He talks about the day of the Lord there. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at verse 10 with me. Now, in this particular passage, he says that there are scoffers in the last day who are asking, when is he coming? Since our fathers all died, you keep talking about his coming, that God is not slack concerning his promise. He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Verse 10. He said, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all of these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, it is the promise of God that the day of the Lord is coming that brings us great comfort. You say, well, what is the day of the Lord? Well, the day of the Lord encompasses many things. Among those, it will include the rapture of his church. It will include the return of Christ, 2 Peter chapter 3. It will include the seven-year tribulation, Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. It will include the millennial reign of Christ, Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. It will include Satan's final defeat, Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. It will include the great white throne judgment of the saints, of the lost, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. It will include the destruction and renewal of a universe, a new universe, Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. It will include the eternal day of God, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Now, the hope is, as Christians, that we have a conviction that this world is going to end according to God's design, but that Jesus is coming again to take us out of here. Now, I have an escape plan, and Jesus is at the head of that. That's the believer's conviction. So I can comfort myself, and I can comfort you, but no matter what's happening in his life, Jesus is coming in. Now, here's the second thought is the believer's caution. Verses 6 and 7 of our text in Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 6 and 7, he gives us two cautions. Be awake and be prepared. Be awake and be prepared. Many Christians are asleep. They're asleep. He says in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Watching gives the idea of being vigilant, being on guard, waiting, expecting Christ to come in any moment. Now, he also says to not only be awake, and by the way, awake to so many things, awake to what's going on in our world system, to what's happening in this world's politics and what's going on around us. We need to be awake, not be sleeping spiritually. Listen, if you are asleep spiritually, you're going to be taken off guard and you're going to be taken down by our enemy. He says, be awake. Number two, he says, be prepared. Verse 8, he said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. That word hope means a confident expectation. My preparation for all of this is being saved, being born again, having the hope of salvation. Now, I know I'm preaching to the Sunday night crowd, the cream of the crop. Amen. Say amen. Man, this is the best of the best. But my preparation is making sure that my heart is right with God, that I have repented of my sin and put my faith in Jesus Christ, that my heart is ready, willing, and able to receive Jesus Christ. I have put on the hope of salvation. He says, as a helmet, and for a helmet, put on the hope of salvation. You had better be prepared to meet God, because you may meet Him any day. Whether He comes or not, whether Jesus comes back today or tomorrow or next month, you may meet Him any day. And many of people got up last week thinking that they would go home, and they did not. They went to eternity before the day ended. We must be prepared, knowing this, that God is going to work a work in us, and He's going to complete it. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The believer's conviction is Jesus is coming back. The believer's caution is that you better be awake and you better be ready and you better be prepared for His coming. And the Bible talks about those who love His appearing. Who loves His appearing? Those who are prepared for it. You prepare by serving Him, loving Him, and sharing His word and looking for Him. Here's the last thought is this. The believer's conviction, He's coming soon. The believer's caution, be ready, be awake. And the believer's confidence. Or, pardon me, the believer's comfort. Despite the impending doom and the end of the world and the coming tribulation, as believers, we take comfort that Jesus is coming again. You say, well, Brother Raines, I would like to take comfort in that, but I got a cousin. I got a brother. I got an aunt. I got a parent. I got a whoever that doesn't know Christ. They're not awake. They're not aware. They're not ready. You better get busy, because Jesus is coming. And I don't know when He's coming. And if He's not coming to us, we're going to Him. And we better start getting some folks ready, because our comfort comes from knowing that Christ is our Savior, and that we have a promise that no matter if tribulation or trials or impending doom is here, that God has not appointed us unto wrath. Look in our text, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 9. He said, for God hath not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are not appointed unto the wrath of God. Now, friends, I want to say this. I am of the opinion that there's a difference between the wrath of God and the tribulation. We may experience tribulation. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that we will be here for the tribulation, although I personally think that is a great possibility that we will be here at least for part of the tribulation period. But I am saying this, tribulation is not an exemption for the believer. Whether that's the great tribulation, the 70th week of Daniel, or whether that's just tribulation in your daily life that you go through, we may experience tribulations. But we are not appointed under wrath. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says this. It says, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. There will be a day in which the wrath of God will be poured out upon this earth. There will not be one thing that survives that wrath. But I know this, the believer's conviction is He could come, the believer's caution is that it could be any time. We ought to be awake and we ought to be ready. The believer's comfort is God has not appointed me unto wrath. Jesus has suffered that for me. And while I may suffer tribulation, friends, I've suffered tribulation, so have you. I am not appointed unto the wrath of God. Unfortunately, there are people who are. We have a promised eternity with Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We have a promise from God that is a blessing to us and a comfort that when this life is over, we're with the Lord Jesus. There's going to come a day, not so far out there, in which my body is going to give up. It tries every morning. Amen. Yours did the same thing. You ever look at yourself and say, you piece of trash, get out of bed right now and do something? I do that all the time. I use negative motivation on myself. You piece of trash, pick up those weights. Brother Bo, you know, you're there for most of that. And I try to use it on Bo, he gets offended. You know, whatever. Bo, you piece of trash, pick up that weight, do something, you know. So there's going to come a day when my body's going to give up and I'm going to be out of here. There are going to be people who cry, don't cry. There are going to be people who rejoice, don't rejoice, do it quietly. There are going to be people who say, Brother Matt is dead. Don't believe it. I will be more alive in that day than I am even now. I will be seated in the heavenlies. I will be with my Lord Jesus. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. See, we don't have any choice here, guys. We don't have any choice but to comfort each other with eternal hope. What else do you have? And what else do you have when a mother and a father have lost a baby? What else do you have besides eternal hope? And David saying, I can't bring my child back to me, but I shall go to my child someday. There's nothing else you have to comfort one another with except for eternal hope. And my hope is in Christ Jesus. I pray God yours is too. Let me share a verse with you, a couple of verses. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This means our lifestyle and thoughts, when it says that our conversation is in heaven, our lifestyle and our thoughts are already focused towards heaven and towards eternal things. We're looking towards eternal heavenly things. A day in which our vile bodies. See, Paul did the same thing. That means Paul was saying, you piece of trash, get out of bed and do something. He said, a vile body. He said, but someday, a glorious body like his. You ever thought about your glorified body, what it looked like? Are you hoping it's better looking than the one you got? I think about it all the time. I hope mine has flowing hair. Amen, Brother Jason? You know how handsome I'd be if I had hair? But the good Lord didn't see fit to give me hair. But I'll get a glorified body someday. My conversation's already in heaven. Our thoughts are heavenward. I want to conclude this way with five ways that we can comfort one another. And you can just write them on your heart. Number one, we can edify one another. To edify means to build each other up, to encourage each other. You know, we kind of gotten to a place, and I talked about this last week in my sermon, we've gotten to a place where we kind of keep to ourselves a little too much. And when you look into somebody's eyes and in their face and their emotions are telling you, hey, I'm down, go encourage them. You say, well, it's just kind of weird, Brother Raines. It's kind of weird that you don't care enough to encourage them to me. It's kind of weird that you wouldn't go and say, hey, listen, are you okay? Can I pray for you? Say something nice. Thank you for being who you are. You look very nice today. Edify. Another way we can comfort each other is by reminding each other that we serve a loving God who comforts and who cares. Number three, here's a way we can comfort each other is pray. Pray. That's the most underestimated tool in the weaponry of a Christian ever. People say, oh, Brother Raines, I just can't do anything anymore. I don't have the strength. I don't have the time. I don't have the ability. Pray. You can pray. You can pray for me. You can pray for our church. You can pray for those who are doing things. Number four, remember. Comfort each other by remembering God's promises of salvation and the eternal hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Number five is give. Give your time. Give your attention. Give a compliment. Give a gesture. It's our job to help each other through this life. And here's what's going to happen is in our lifetime, there's going to be times when you're the comforter, when it's going to be up to you to step into somebody's life and do something. And then there's going to be times when you need a comforter. And you need to be willing to open up your arms and say, listen, I need your comfort. Come and help me. And that gets reciprocated in our lives. Many, many times I've been a comforter for somebody else, but many, many times others have come along to comfort me, and I praise God for it. Comfort one another with these words. Let's pray together, and we'll break up into our small groups for a few minutes and spend some time together, all right? Father, we thank you for your blessings, and we thank you for the promises, the precious promises we have in your word, that we have an eternal hope, and that we can look heavenward even when tragedy comes. And this week has been hard, like so many other weeks, and it's been harder than most because we've had multiple tragedies in our church family hit so close to home and so close to heart. And Lord, I just pray that you would teach us, if we are nothing else, that you would teach us to be comforters. Job's friends came and they sat for 7 days and said not a word, but they just cried with their friend. It wasn't until they spoke that Job said they were lousy comforters. But in times of tragedy, sometimes just being there for somebody so that they know that you care, to cry with them and to grieve with them. Teach us to love each other the way that you've loved us. Teach us to lean on each other. And Lord, I just pray that there might be something that was said here tonight that would touch your heart and bless somebody. If there's one soul here tonight who's not comforted by the fact that they know Christ as their Savior, God, I pray you draw them by your Spirit. That's all that can be done, is you draw them by your Spirit and someone share with them the truth of how they can be saved, that they might know peace and have an eternal hope. Teach us to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless us now as we break up and pray together. May you bless our time. We give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We are going to dismiss into our small groups for just a minute. It don't have to be long. It's already 7 o'clock almost. We don't have questions. I didn't list any questions. You can discuss tonight's